Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts. Aww. He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. And those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, if you continue to listen, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And you're going to get a lot smarter. Prepare to get smarter, because we got our good friend Steve Forbes back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Steve's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and one of my heroes. I've said that many times before. Editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, president of Forbes, author of the Flat Tax Revolution, Using a Postcard to Abolish the IRS, among other books. And as I said before, I've told you before, one of the smartest guys I know. Steve Forbes, welcome back to the show.
Good to be with you, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back. Steve, let's get right into the topic of the day. I don't know if you know this or not, but today we're observing kind of an ignominious anniversary. 1 year ago today, the Dow Industrial Averages were at their all-time high of just over 14,000. In the past 9 months, the keys of the kingdom of capitalism have basically been handed over to the federal government. Steve, what chain of events has brought us to this it's clearly an unprecedented state. What has caused this?
What has caused this is a perfect storm of bad government policy, starting with weakening the dollar 4 years ago with Alan Greenspan. The housing bubble never would have reached the proportions it did if the Fed hadn't been the easy money.
By the way, Steve, let me stop you right there. You, on this show 4 years ago, you warned us about this.
Well, some of us did. And what it is the equivalent of is a bartender who you shouldn't drink too much. But if the bartender keeps applying drinks 24 hours a day, happy hour at 10 cents a pop, you're going to have problems. That's what the Fed did, kept applying the drinks long the system got inebriated. So that was one big mistake. Another big mistake was this crazy rule called mark-to-market, which forces institutions like banks and insurance companies to mark their assets as if they're on distress sale. You know, and I know, there are different kinds of assets. You sell a share of, say, IBM, or buy a share of IBM, you can do it instantly, nanosecond. There are other assets that take longer. And if you have an impaired market like we did a year ago, if you were told, say, you had to sell your house in 2 hours, well, you would get a very small price
than
if you could hold the thing. So this mark-to-market of forcing assets to be marked as if they're being sold in a distress sale really damaged the balance sheets of banks. Just to give you one number, Jim, banks have written off about $500 billion in losses in the last year. You realize most of that is book loss, not cash loss.
Most of those buildings are occupied and producing, aren't they?
They are.
And the mortgages are current.
And the mortgages, most mortgages are current, but they have to be marked down to these distressed prices, so the crisis feeds on itself. And then one other big thing, our friends at the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, removed the uptick rule on a short sale.
Yeah.
Before, if you wanted a shorter stock, you had to wait until the stock moved up in price, so you couldn't gang up on the thing. Well, they removed it. Suddenly, market volatility went up, and then they didn't enforce the rule on short sales against naked short selling. You know, if you sell short, you're supposed to possess the shares,
right,
the shares.
Right. Yeah.
And so the Fed didn't police that. So you put all of that together, you got a big mess.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you brought up the mark-to-market. That's for the average person, that's over in the weeds, but it's really not if you think about it. The Fair Accounting Act required financial institutions to mark their assets on their balance sheet to the market value. And Steve, let me ask you a question: If January 1, now this is I know this is hindsight, but I mean this is an example of how ridiculous the condition we're in right now is. On January 1, 2008. if the SEC had suspended and FASB had suspended the Fair Accounting Act requirement of mark-to-market, and we hadn't had that all year long, and they suspended it, say, for 2 years, would we be sitting here in the kind of condition we're in right now?
No. You would not have seen AIG go down. You would not have seen Lehman Brothers go
Bear
down.
Bear Stearns,
even they probably would have survived. They would have had to be taken over, but it wouldn't be the disaster that it was.
Right.
So this is one of those things, and it's a key reminder, seemingly arcane principle like accounting can have a profound impact on our daily lives.
But then, but yet, Steve, this is the part that really frightens me, and I'm not easily frightened. You've seen my gray hair. You know, this isn't my first rodeo. You know, I'm not easily frightened, but what frightens me is the same organization that contributed so significantly to get us where we are right now are the people who currently have the keys to our marketplace, to capitalism. When we come back, I want to get Steve to tell us what he's frightened about, too, and if there's anything that he's hopeful about. We'll do that right after these messages. Steve Forbes is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host.
Aflac for small business.
We're back at 17 till. Don't want to miss a second of our visit with our good friend Steve Forbes, CEO of Forbes and editor-in-chief of Forbes magazine, author of Flat Tax Revolution, and somebody you all know very well, and we're glad to say he's a member of our brain trust. Steve Forbes, here's a question I never thought I would ask anybody this question and mean it. Is capitalism as we have known it dead?
The answer is no. Capitalism, because of a variety of reasons we just touched on, is having a bad illness, but the system is strong and it will recover. And if the politicians keep mucking it up, they're going to have to find new means of employment. You know, if they do in the next 2 years, they do bad things. We saw in 1994 when they tried to nationalize our health care system. Guess what? The Democrats lost it all.
Yeah. Well, I know. You know, Steve, there's a book that I read once part of my library by Norman Cantor, In the Wake of the Plague. And this book was about this book. I don't know if you've seen that book, but it's fascinating because Mr. Cantor makes the point that because of the plague of the 1400s, it killed so many of the people who were repressing everybody else, that it actually gave rise to the Reformation, to the Renaissance era, to really modern the modern world, because it killed so many of the religious and the despots of those days, that it allowed these other ideas to come free. Are we experiencing a plague that in the wake of that we're actually going to be better for it?
Well, I hope we're going to be better for what's happened, and I don't think we need a plague to do it. Ideas are sound. There's some good ideas, bad ideas, and I think that the American people, even though they're angry right now, the Republicans did do some bad things, and they're paying the price for it. But the American people don't want a collectivist, socialist, Soviet-style state, and the Democrats far left can't recognize that. And as we were discussing during the commercial break, their instincts are such that they're going to not be able to help themselves, and there's going to be a reaction to it. People want low taxes. People want government restraint on spending. People want more opportunity. They don't want government bureaucrats running their lives.
Speaking of which, the latest polls I saw, national polls, which really mean nothing because the election is going to be won on the Electoral College. Colorado is probably going to be the state that will determine whether who wins the presidency. But the national polls, which are an indicator, 52-41, Obama over McCain. It's not looking good for McCain right now, is it?
Well, no, and he has been the chief victim of this economic crisis. Two and a half weeks ago, he was ahead in the polls. Senator Obama was the one who was floundering around trying to figure out how to turn this thing around, and now it's switched because of circumstances. But this thing can switch again. The electorate has not solidified, and as a matter of fact, in the next three and a half weeks, as people contemplate, here we are in a national emergency.
Yeah.
they're going to be thinking, who do we want in the White House? Do we want somebody who's experienced, who's been through crisis, who demonstrated in the Iraq war that he can think outside the box, go against the conventional thinking, as McCain did with President Bush on the war in Iraq and the strategy we're pursuing there before the surge? Or do we want somebody who has very little experience, is going to have a lot of on-the-job training to do, in a crisis? And I think most people say, let's take the experienced guy, even if they vote for the Democrats on the rest of the ticket.
And regardless of what the polls tell us, you think that when they get in there in their heart of hearts, it'll be interesting to see. But the polls sure aren't looking that way. But let me ask you a question. Let's say that Mr. Obama becomes the president. What would an Obama administration look like in America?
Well, I think initially they'll go slow just because of the crisis, but the instincts are very much there. His whole life has been very, very liberal, very collectivist, very high tax, very government bureaucracy running everything, very socialistic outlook. And so I think policies are going to start to leak in there. And one of the things that's going to happen that they're not going to be able to help themselves on is trying to do away with the secret ballot on union elections.
Yep.
And the American people, when they get wind of that and realize that if these union guys come in and they want to organize your workplace, you can't do a secret ballot, they're going to be outraged.
But, Steve,
so
I believe...
those are the kind of things that are going to turn this thing around.
I fear, though, that if Obama wins, that he will have a supermajority in the Senate. I fear that the Senate will go 60%. And folks, when I say I fear that, I don't think any president ought to have a 60% majority. Any senator should have that. That's one of the great checks and balances of our government. I fear, though, that his coattails are going to be so long if he's elected that he will have a supermajority in the Senate, and they'll just wash that right through Congress.
Well, that's where the public opinion comes in. Remember, when Bill Clinton came in 1993 and wanted to nationalize the health care system with Hillary Clinton, the Democrats had a 58-42, 59-41 majority in the Senate, had the full control of the House. Even Bob Dole was ready to cut a deal on this. He just wanted a place at the table.
Yep.
And so it looked like this thing was going to roll through. But when the public began to think of this, began to realize the implications of it, they said no. And so a lot of Democrats turned on it because, as ideological as a lot of these guys and gals are, at the end of the day, enough will want to get reelected to not do something that's going to cost them their jobs.
Right. It'll be an interesting... You know, Steve, at the beginning of the year, I warned my audience that economically and politically, we were going to be, in 2008, we were going to be living the Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. And
yes,
that certainly has come to pass. I'll take a quick break. When we come back, we think we're in a recession. Some people are saying it might get worse. I'm going to ask Steve about that right after these messages. 10 till. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Steve Forbes, CEO of, president, I should say, of Forbes Magazine, Forbes Company, I should say, and editor-in-chief of Forbes Magazine. I'll get that right in a minute. Author of Flat Tax Revolution. Speaking of your book, Steve, quickly, in yesterday's Wall Street Journal, former Senator Jack Kemp and a guy that I know, Peter Ferrara, wrote an article proposing flat tax, and you know, as a way to help get us out of these challenges we've got, and so they're kind of carrying your water, aren't they?
Well, it's good to see, and it's good also to focus on, okay, there's some things we have to do to get over this bank crisis, but where do we go after that? And the key thing is to have a proper foundation of incentives, stimulus in place that enable people, entrepreneurs, to get to working again, get back on their feet, and get the economy moving forward. Flat tax would be a perfect way to do it. Imagine being able to spend time focusing on growing your business instead of filling out tax forms.
I can't believe, as an advisor to John McCain, I can't believe that you haven't gotten him to do that.
Well, he's got a proposal of a semi-flat tax, two rates instead of one rate that I proposed, but you can do it on a sheet of paper, and it's a heck of a step. And
but he's not. But he didn't talk about that. He's not talking about that in the debates. I wish he'd bring it up in the debates.
Yeah, he should push the thing. People would get excited about it.
I think they would. We need that. Maybe that's his big announcement he's going to make today. Steve, I've been hearing we kind of feel like we're in a depression. A lot of people, I mean, in a recession. A lot of people do. We're probably going to be going into one real soon if we're not already in there. I've been resisting that all year, but that's probably the reality. But I hear some people talk using the word depression, and that really upsets me when they do that, because Steve, we've got scores of democracies around the world. This is what's different from 80 years ago. Scores of democracy, free trade agreements running wild. We got technology, communication, cooperation among nations. We got business to business communication. We got global markets. We're not even close to the kind of conditions that could create what the classic depression. What do you think?
Well, people sometimes think that economics and taxes are like the weather. Nothing you can do about it. When a storm comes along, you just bear with it. That's not true on the economy. It was bad policies, as we were talking about earlier, that brought us into this mess, and we make a few changes and we get back on track. The depression was a prime example of what happens when you do stupid, bad policies for year after year. You're going to hurt things, but we should learn from that. You don't keep beating up the patient. You try to get the patient back on his feet. That's what it's not that hard to do.
Yeah. Folks, when you're saying your prayers, please pray that we have learned something from all this. Steve, I've told you before, and my audience knows, I've been pretty aggravated with Wall Street for some time now, and I believe Wall Street doesn't believe in anything, but I believe Main Street, small business owners on Main Street, we believe in ourselves. And Steve, I believe that small businesses, Main Street, will lead this country out of whatever we're in right now. Not Wall Street, it'll be small business. What do you think?
Well, entrepreneurs are the way you get to real growth and progress. And what we got to do short term is get the banking system moving again. And when that starts to move again, the blood starts to circulate again. Entrepreneurs are going to carry the ball again, as they've always done before.
Yeah. Steve, I'm really not worried about the next 6, 12, even 36 months. I'm worried about the long-term implications of all of this government intervention globally now. Globally, it's getting out of hand. I'm not worried about the next 12 to 36 months. I'm worried about the next 12 to 36 years. What do you think?
Well, I think that in the next few years, we're going to make fundamental decisions in this country where we're going to go. I think the American people don't want to go back to the turmoil and the big government policies we had in the 1970s before Ronald Reagan. The Democrats wish it were not that way. They wish to have more government control. But I think at the end of the day, people are going to say no. We're angry at the Republicans for their reckless spending, for the crazy things they did. But it doesn't mean we want to turn our backs on Ronald Reagan. On that, the Democrats are wrong, and they're going to pay for it, maybe not in this election, but in future elections.
Steve, you remain hopeful and positive about the future of this country economy and marketplaces?
Yes, I think when the American people are presented with the proper choices, they ultimately make the right choices, and our task is to make sure we get the right ideas out there.
Yeah.
Work with people, persuade people, and Ronald Reagan, you know, for years it looked like he was just a lonely voice in the wilderness, and by golly, he did turn things around.
The website is Forbes.com, right?
It is indeed. We've got
still
over
a prof-
20 million unique visits a month now.
Still a profitable website, too, right? We like that. And don't forget the magazines, folks, Forbes Magazine and all the others that they publish. Hey, Steve, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Jim, thank you. Look forward to it.
Steve Forbes, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.